No, I think I'm good.
Come on, Mario.
Holy quietness. All right. So I was asked to teach two lessons in two consecutive weeks. And I thought of doing Zechariah, but no, I'd rather have them see me and I can see the notes. Yeah, they can see that. Yeah. Good enough.
Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to do Zechariah, but like I said, I don't know. That's one of my favorite books, but to do it in 1 week, I don't think so. Besides, starting in October, we're going to have a class on post-exile prophets. So you just have to come to that. So I thought, well, what book can I do in a one class thing? I thought, what about the book of Jonah? All right, so that's what we're going to do. And by the way, by next Thursday, Jen and I are going to be off. We're going to be going to Buenos Aires, Asunción in Paraguay, La Paz, Brasilia, Belo Horizonte, Rio, and Sao Paulo, teaching for all these churches. 23 days. 15 flights. So pray for us to have energy and all that kind of stuff. All right. Anyway, so Jonah. Oh, good. So I can see what I'm doing there. That's good. That's good.
Wow. Come on, Daniel.
All right. So I can see what you're seeing. That helps. Great. All right. So the theme of Jonah is the same practically as the theme of Hosea. About the grace of God. Now, a lot of the minor prophets, the theme is judgment, okay? So, I don't know, Jonah's kind of a happier book in that sense. Now, the message of Jonah is that salvation is for the Gentiles too.
Amen.
You know what? There's a lot of miracles in the Bible. There's the miracle of Israel crossing the Red Sea. There's the miracle of Jesus being raised from the dead. There's the miracle of the flood. But I think one of the biggest miracles is that the book of Jonah ended up in the Bible. Because the theme of Jonah is salvation is for the Gentiles too. And the average Jew was not exactly fired up about that. In fact, who hated Gentiles being saved more than anybody? Maybe Jonah. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's pretty amazing there. And then there's another kind of sub-theme, which is you can't run away from God. You try all you want, and it just doesn't work too well as far as it goes.
Come on, bro.
All right, great. So a little bit of background to Jonah. It's written in the 8th century B.C. It's one of the very earliest prophets that we have recorded. And Assyria was the worst enemy of the Jews. And Assyria had come in more than once. And around 70 years later, they came back. They completely destroyed the northern kingdom, wiped out Samaria. But this was during a brief time of about 20 or 30 years when Assyria was kind of having a hard time. They'd kind of had a few defeats. They'd lost some territory. They weren't doing super awesome. And they were known to be arrogant and violent and cruel. But God had humbled these arrogant, violent, cruel Ninevites, these Assyrians, to the point where, I don't know, they might have actually been open just a little bit. I got to make sure. I see. All right, great. So that's kind of the background. As you know, of course, Jonah's going to go to Nineveh, right? Go to Nineveh, go Jonah. You guys know that song?
No,
okay. Can you lead that song? No? All right. All right. Now, Nineveh was the largest city in the world at that time. Population of 200,000 or 300,000. And Assyria was the most powerful empire in the world at that time. All right. Anyway, God's going to send Jonah to Nineveh. And one thing about Jonah, it's, I don't know how many of you came to the class we had in the spring about prefigures of the Messiah and foreshadows and all that kind of stuff. One thing about Jonah, which is kind of cool, is there's a lot of things about Jonah that are the same as Jesus. Because Jonah is a prefigure of Jesus. And all the people who are prefigures of Jesus are either a prophet, a priest, or a king. And of course, Jonah is a priest. All right? Excuse me, a prophet. And another thing is, they have to save people somehow. And Jonah fits that. And in fact, in Matthew 12, 39 through 41, Jesus basically says, Jonah's career was a picture of my career, in a sense. Because he said, just like Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights, so I will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And he says, the only sign we're going to give to these sinful, prideful people is the sign of Jonah. And what's the sign of Jonah? Well, coming back from the dead after 3 days. All right, but there's a few other things. When Jesus came in John 7:52, they said, you can't be a prophet, because no prophet ever came from Galilee. Guess who they forgot?
Oh.
Jonah, of course, because they always want to forget Jonah, because what's the message of Jonah? Salvation is for the Gentiles. So in fact, Jonah came from Gath Hepher. We'll have a quiz about that after the class. Gath Hepher. All right, and Gath Hepher is about 3 miles from Nazareth. Right, about the distance from here to my house. Right there, you know, it's basically the next town over. And I think that's not a coincidence. But there's other things. And all these things are not a coincidence, these parallels. Another parallel is, you know, there's a place in the New Testament where there's this massive storm. And everybody's thinking they're about to die. What's Jesus doing?
Sleeping.
Exactly the same thing in the book of Jonah. All these people in this boat, this huge, massive storm. And what's Jonah doing? Because he's a prefigure of the Messiah. He's sleeping. But that's not all. Because, you know, Jonah was about to offer his life as a sacrifice to save the Gentiles. And what are they doing? Gambling. Can you think of somebody else who willingly offered his life as a sacrifice to save the Gentiles? And right around the same time, they're gambling? Can you think of somebody else? There's a few parallels, but really, to me, another thing is, in Mark 4:39, there's this huge storm. And what's Jesus says? He says, be quiet and still. And the storm was quieted. Which, of course, is what happened with Jonah. But really, Jonah 1:12 is the most obvious connection between Jonah and Jesus. Because the story of Jonah is the story of Jesus. Alright, Jonah 1 verse 12.
Come on, John.
Pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So Jesus took the fault for the situation, alright, and then he willingly offered his life to save the Gentiles. And interesting, on the third day, he came back from the dead, just like Jesus. All right, so here's the outline of the book. All right, oh yeah, that's right. There's the other parallels between Jesus and Jonah, sort of cool stuff. All right, so here's the outline of Jonah. It's pretty simple. Chapter 1, running away from God. Chapter 2, running to God. Chapter 3, running with God. And then, I don't know exactly how to say chapter 4, running ahead of God. All right, which is, you know, putting words in God's mouth, which God really wouldn't want you to do. So, all right, so that's a pretty simple outline. Fairly quick lesson here. All right, so let's go to Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, if you were a Jew, would you want to go to Nineveh and say, you guys are wicked? Yeah, you would. Because they're wicked. All right, maybe, maybe not, because they might kill you. All right? But see, Jonah, I think Jonah secretly understood that God had something in mind good for the Ninevites. So God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? He ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. Now let me show you a map here. Alright. Or what happened to the... Oh, there's a map. Oh, that's right. Where's my map? I put it in there. In the current version. There it is. Oh, okay. I put it in the wrong place.
All right.
Here we go. So here's Gath Hefer. All right. And here's Nineveh. So God says, go to Nineveh. So what does Jonah do? He goes to Tarshish. And at that time, that was part of Phoenicia. And at that time, Tarshish was the end of the world. Like, to them, there was beyond Tarshish, there was nothing. So God told Jonah to do something he didn't want to do. And what did Jonah do? The exact opposite. Yeah, that's the next question in the outline. Have you ever been like Jonah? Where Jonah says, go here. And you say, no, I think I'm going to go over there. I mean, Jonah was, he's a great preacher, but he's got a few character flaws here. And, you know, to me, the story of Jonah is not just that God forgave the Ninevites. The story is that God forgave Jonah. I mean, because God has, sent us to reach out to people, help people come to Him. A lot of times, we didn't exactly get with the program, you know what I'm saying? And God, luckily for us, is very patient. All right, now I got to go back here. Okay, oh, that's what it. I put the so you guys had already seen that map. You did. Oh, you're so smart. Now, one thing we need to remember is, if we try to flee from God's will, we need to remember that God is in control. And if God wants you to do this, and you do that. One possibility is says, well, fine, just good for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But nothing you might do is say, no, you're going to do this. All right? So Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went on to Joppa. Joppa is the seaport, all right, to the west of Gath Hefer, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose. And some of us, we've tried to walk away from God in one way or another, and God just, He kind of puts a roadblock there.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We do stupid things. And sometimes He says, fine, if that's what you do. But other times, He puts this big storm in the way.
Yep.
Alright, so there's a great wind and there's such a violent storm that the ship was threatening to break up. All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into sea to lighten the ship. See, these guys are like, we're dead.
Yeah.
It's hopeless. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. I don't know, was he tired or I don't know what's going on there. It's kind of weird. All right, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us and we will not perish. Now, one thing for sure is the other guy's prayers had no effect. All right, these guys are in a world of hurt. They're dead in their sins. It's just a matter of time before they're going to go to hell. And they're praying to their job, and they're praying to their electric device or their bank account or their friends or whatever they're relying on. I'm trying to bring it into the modern context. You guys don't pray to Baal, and do you struggle with praying to Baal? You don't struggle with praying to Baal? But we struggle to rely on other things, right?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to rely on this. I mean, we got all kinds of problems in our life. We got a sin problem. And so we go to everything else except the one who can save us.
Yeah.
Then the sailors said to each other, let's cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. And Jonah's thinking, he knows exactly what's going to happen there. I mean, why even bother? Because he knows who's going to get picked there. Because you know what? God is in control. And even when we don't obey God, God is still in control. Sometimes when we don't obey God, He just disciplines us and it doesn't work out so well. But other times, He's there, no, you know, you're going to do what I want you to do. And that's what's going to happen here. So they asked them, then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots. And they cast lots and it fell on Jonah. So they asked them, tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? Now, what does Jonah do? He's a prophet. So what had he not been doing? Prophesying. All right? Now, this guy, do you ever get in a conversation and then it kind of comes up that you're a Christian and somebody says, really? I thought Christians share their faith. That's happened to me.
Oh.
That's happened to me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've had somebody say that to me. Oh, you're a Christian? Well, I thought Christians, like, shared their faith and stuff. Yeah. Oh, busted on that one. All right. So, you know, hopefully everybody you're around a lot, like, they're not going to be, really? A Christian? Wow. Could have fooled me. I didn't know that. Maybe not because of your sinful life, but just because you haven't bothered, gotten around to mentioning it yet.
Come on.
So they hadn't mentioned it yet. And he answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of the heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they said, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. They asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, replied. It will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So Jonah is kind of working on repenting here.
Yeah.
He's admitting that it's his fault. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. They cried to the Lord. They're crying to Jehovah. Amen. Please do not let us die for taking this man's life. But do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you please. They took Jonah, they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. And so Jonah willingly offered his life to save the Gentiles, which is exactly, of course, what Jesus did. And then God provided a big fish. I mean, God's in control. At every point, every single thing that happens, it's all orchestrated and prepared by God. So God provides a big fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah's inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. All right. So God is in control. You know, God might ask you to do something that you desperately do not want to do. What should you do?
Do it anyway.
I don't know what it is. For me, you know, going out, because when I was a young Christian, we did a lot of knocking on doors and kind of that kind of stuff. And just the thought of it, it just makes me start to sweat, you know. So maybe I should just go out and do that. All right. And also notice another parallel here. They're saying, hey, we're going to kill him, but don't blame us. Isn't that what Pilate said?
Yeah.
Says, you know, we're going to kill him, but don't blame me. That's exactly what the Gentile Pilate did. It's exactly what the Gentiles did in this situation. Again, another little parallel that I think is not an accident. All right, Jonah chapter 2. I better look every time to see the same. It is saying the same thing. Great. Running toward God. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Now, I've got a question. If you had been running away from God, God had provided a massive storm, and you got thrown into the sea and swallowed by a big fish, how long would it take you to come around to say, God, would you please help me in this situation? How prideful is Jonah? 3 days in that fish. Is that how stubborn you are? Is that how hard it is for God to get your attention? 3 days in that fish. I don't. After 2 days, I would think and say, you know, God, I'm sorry. Help me out here. 3 days. God is amazingly patient with us. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's insane. The amount of stuff that God would put up with us. Why? Because he loves us.
Yeah.
To me, the fact that he forgave the Ninevites is amazing, but the fact that he forgave Jonah is even more amazing. I mean, what's so bad about doing what you're trained to do, which is go preach the word? So anyway, he has a prayer. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And he answered me, from the depths of the grave, I call for help. You listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep. Now, as we're reading this, this is you before you were a Christian. And this is you before you repented. And God literally saved you from death. And you were raised with Christ. Not only were you baptized into Christ, you were raised with Christ. So really, this song is about every single one of us. You hurled me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep sea surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. Amen. Some of us, God had to take us down to the deepest, darkest pit. Because he loves us that much. And we said, you know what, God? I need some help here. My prayer rose to you in your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. When I vowed I'll make good, salvation comes to the Lord. Now, Jonah's clearly completely repented here, right? No. Because notice this, he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Like, for example, who? The Ninevites. He's still making excuses. So he's kind of repentant. He's kind of repentant. He asked God for help, but he hasn't exactly gotten around to the idea of actually doing what God wants him to do. He's saying, I'm not going to go see those Ninevites. Are you kidding? Why would I want to go help them? Who do you have trouble sharing your faith with? Who do you say, oh, that person could never be saved? Hopeless. Why bother? Well, what about the Ninevites? And the Jews hated the Ninevites. For good reason. Because they were the most violent, cruel... I mean, if you ever go to the Lakish room in the British Museum and all the incredible kinds of torture. They'd cut people's skin off. They'd flay them alive. I mean, they were a horrible, terrible people. So from a human perspective, Jonah had every reason to think, yeah, please just send them to hell. Alright? But you know what? How much better are we than the Ninevites, really? Not a whole lot better. See, Jonah, he's getting there. He's getting there. He's not there yet, though. Alright, Jonah chapter 3. He's getting there. We're working on it. God's kind of gotten us to admit we're in a world of hurt. He hasn't gotten around us to admit that maybe we're as bad as everybody. We're the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
You know, we're even, you know, Paul said, I'm the worst of sinners, right? Wow. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, wait a minute. Why does the word have to come to Jonah a second time? Because he still hasn't gone there yet. All right? God told you to do this. And you said, no thanks. I'm going to do that. And God loves you anyway. He shows his grace to you. He takes care of you. He showers his blessings on you. Hoping that you'll say, you know what, God, thank you. I'm going to go and do what you said. But not Jonah. He's not there yet. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now let's think about it. What do you think? Pretend you never ever read the book of Jonah. What do you think the message was that God told Jonah to preach to the Ninevites? Right, repent and you'll be saved. Let's see if that's what Jonah preached to the Ninevites. So, see, you read the book of Jonah, you figure, well, he went to Nineveh. Praise God, he's now obeying the Lord. Well, I don't know. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. I mean, somewhat. I mean, to a fair extent. He obeyed the word of the Lord, went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. The first day Jonah started into the city, proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. All right? Did he obey the Lord here? I don't know. But I'll give him credit. I'll give him some cred here. He's brave, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Can you imagine going into the most powerful city in the world, and he says, in 40 days, you're all going to be destroyed. That's kind of a recipe to get arrested, I would think. I don't know. So I'll give him some credit. The guy was brave. All right. 40 more days, it'll be destroyed. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. And he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on Jehovah. Amazing. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Now, is that what Jonah preached?
No.
It's amazing. These guys, I guess they just figured it out. Maybe, I don't know, maybe God won't destroy us. But one thing I'd say is, you know that person you think would never, ever, ever be open? Who knows? I mean, what were the chances? And yet, these violent, sinful, horrible people, they actually repented. And they seriously repented. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. And so, the prefigure of Jonah chapter 1 was, in a sense, revealed in Jonah chapter 3. God chose to save the Gentiles. And of course, Jonah is so thankful that God has saved the Ninevites. Saying, thank God, you are compassionate and loving. And God, I really, you know. Now, how about this? Is there anybody you almost wish they wouldn't be saved? Wouldn't be saved. Seriously. I'm not kidding. Is there? But I'm serious here. Because that was Jonah's attitude. Are there some people that you have enough resentment to, you're like, no way. You know? Not those Muslims or whatever you have some kind of hateful attitude toward, whatever it is. Maybe it's Democrats if you're Republican. I don't know.
Raider
fan. All right. So now, Jonah chapter 4. Jonah has a pity party. Or, as one of my favorite preachers said, a pity potty. He's sitting on the pity potty. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. What's wrong with him? God didn't destroy Nineveh. That's how hard his heart was. Right? And think about that. Because really, one of the purposes of this book is for us to look at our own hearts right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Because he had bitterness in his heart. He did not want to forgive them. And he was so bitter, he didn't even want God to forgive them. Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sinning and calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better me to die than to live." Wow, what a great guy, you know, a real spiritual man. Really spiritual guy. But it's true. It's true. And in fact, he's finally preaching the message of Jonah. I mean, the only time he ever actually preached the message God told him to preach is right here, and he's saying it with the worst possible attitude. But this is the message of Jonah. Let's read it. It is, God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. That's the God we worship. And that's the theme of Jonah, is the grace of God towards the people who least deserve it. And who least deserves it? Every single one of us right here. But the Lord replied, that's right. But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and he sat in its shade. And he waited to see what would happen to the city. So what's he doing?
Burping.
He's praying. Is God listening to this prayer? No. God is saying, oh man. Because he doesn't want to go home until he has some good news. And what's the good news? Fire from heaven fell on Nineveh. Has Jonah repented?
No.
He still hasn't repented. So what's God going to do? He's going to send fire down on Jonah, right? No. This God is amazingly patient and gracious with us. Because we have been like Jonah. And he said, fill in the blank. I hope this person, you know, this child molester or this other thing, which, you know, understandably, we find horrifying and all that kind of stuff. All right? So, then the Lord provided a vine and made it to grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was happy about the vine. You know? God gave you some blessings and you're fired up about it. And then he tells you to go preach the word and you're not so fired up anymore, you know? What a fickle relationship he has with God. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine, so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun was blazed on Jonah's head, so he grew faint, and he wanted to die. He said, it'd be better for me to die than to live. Now God's trying to teach Jonah a little bit of a lesson here. And how about this? How about if we save him the trouble, and let's learn the lesson, so we don't have to get swallowed up by a big fish for 3 days and go into a storm and all that other stuff. God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine. You did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. And many cattle as well. I don't know why he threw that in there. That's kind of weird. I guess God cares about the cattle too, I guess. Amen? Should I not be concerned about that great city? God is concerned about the souls in San Diego.
Yeah.
And in Buenos Aires and Sao Paulo and the other places. And you know what? I think we ought to get about the business of letting people know.
Yeah.
And what do we need to call people to do? Repent.
Yeah.
But we need to tell him, yeah, because God's grace is going to come on you.
Yeah.
You're going to have time when that vine thing is going to come over. You're going to have like shade and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it may not be a bowl of cherries the whole time. But you know what? God loves the Gentiles too. And to summarize then, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Thank you, and hopefully we learn from the book of Jonah.
Job. All right, let's give another hand to John. I really appreciate the message that he gave today. You know, we all have been like Jonah, you know.